This is Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. While UC Merced continues to deal with the pandemic, it's also ramping up to ultimately double in size after the completion of Merced 2020, a public-private partnership that will enable the university to educate an additional 10,000 students. And it's about to get a new leader. The UC Board of Regents announced last week that Juan Sanchez Munoz will become the university's fourth chancellor. As a UC alum and first-generation student, he has a lot in common with UC Merced's student body. He currently serves as president of University of Houston Downtown and was still in Texas when I spoke with him just days after the announcement. UC Merced is a really unique university in its location, in its age, in the population of students that it serves. And as I was looking at your academic background and your research background, it came to me that, or I have to assume rather, that some of the things that set UC Merced apart are the exact things that probably drew you to the institution. Can you just talk a little bit about your background?
My research, I've been a long time interested in the principle of equitable access to high impact, high rigor opportunities to learn. And so one of the aspects of the university in terms of its percentage of first generation students, which is disproportionately high for a research institution, the percentage of diverse students, both in terms of Latinos, Asian, African Americans, and students from other countries is significant. And the economic diversity of its students is an important factor. And many of the students also come from that general region, which is to say that they come from a family that is familiar with the agricultural industries. And so it creates a very dynamic milieu for learning to take place there. And one of the things that I think is no secret about the University of California system writ large is its expectations of rigor and excellence. And so when you combine access to high impact content and faculty with an environment that demands, expects excellence and high achievement, that bodes very well for people that come from modest backgrounds.
So what are your priorities for the university?
Well, I would say, again, not arrived on the campus and visited with the leadership who also have priorities, as well as the deliberations that have taken place, I want to just preface my comments by saying that these are just some initial sort of thoughts. I think, obviously, we need to continue to prosecute the high research expectations of the university. The students want to attend the University of California Merced because of its reputation, its gravitas, its faculty, its research. And so we need to always be mindful of enhancing that aspect of the university. We need to think very carefully about how we support the faculty, how we support the staff that work there, how we support the students that have an interest in attending the institution. So those are sort of the basic blocking and tackling of I think successful higher education. We want to look at what sort of investments we're going to make in enhancing the physical capacity of the institution. We want to look at how we're interacting with K-12, obviously, how we are interacting with our community college partners. What kind of partnerships are we involved in with other UC campuses across the system, other institutions across the state and the country, and then make the appropriate investments of time, talent, or treasure.
One thing that COVID-19 has exposed is the educational inequities in our systems, particularly around access to technology, support, and other resources. So how do you plan to go about addressing those inequities in an online environment?
Right. Well, there's no doubt that the delivery of content virtually presents certain challenges to families that, for as you've indicated or at least implied, may not have access to the internet, may not have bandwidth at their home, may be sharing bandwidth, may not have the technology to access the internet, may not have the technology of sufficient sophistication to access and download all of the content needed for learning. I think that this is playing out both in K-12 education as well as higher education to some extent. And so we need to be mindful of these inequities. We need to create strong social student support services that very quickly identify those students. Not all students are going to have inadequate or inequitable access to technology, but some will. And so what we want to do is find out who those students that that suffer that inequity are, how we can support them, how we can maybe provide some financial assistance for some technology. I will tell you, for example, my current institution, one of the things that we did was we were going through a natural process of what's called refurbishing or replacement. And that is you're looking at your computer labs after 3 to 5 years and just updating them with newer technology. We refurbished, we wiped all of those desktops, and we made hundreds available to our students at very, very, very low cost. And hundreds of students took advantage of that program because they simply did not have the technology at home to access their coursework. So that is an example of a university saying, what can we do within our existing resources to help hundreds of students who may not have the technology? Well, we're going through this natural cycle. We had already budgeted the replacement of all these units. Can we make them available to some students for their use and that they would permanently keep? So there are things that institutions can do. And then obviously there are some inequities that a university, a college, even a system have limits to address.
So running a university is really like running a city. I mean, you're dealing with competing interests, finite resources. It's a challenging job under any circumstances, and you're starting it in the middle of a pandemic. I appreciate the fact that you have just been announced as the chancellor delegate, and the transition is going to be ongoing. But what can you say about how it's going so far and what you think the transition is going to look like?
Right. Well, again, I'm about 48 hours into it, so I would characterize it that it seems to be going as well as possible. Mostly, I'm introducing myself to people like yourself and those other, and other stakeholders in the community, and so I will say that I am hopeful that I will be able to very quickly assimilate much of the information needed to help make some informed contributions to the leadership. I will make the point, Kathleen, that while I understand and respect the position of a president or a chancellor, universities are led by an aggregation of leaders that are equally invested in its well-being and in its future. So my position is that I, with the provost and the deans and department chairs, will make the decisions that we think are in the best interest of the university. There are the decisions that we make for the summer, in my case, likely my contributions will have more of an impact for the fall. And then what we do beyond that, here's a little bit of a difference, Kathleen, and I've spoken to any number of colleagues and counterparts across the country. Unlike traditional higher education planning, where you think, here's what we're going to do for the academic year. I think COVID-19 has caused us to stop and say, okay, what are we going to do this summer? For example, most schools continued the online delivery through the spring and into the summer. Many schools decided we would teach entirely online this summer. Well, in the fall, people are planning for different scenarios, face-to-face hybrid, online, a disruptible fall. And so what's a little different is the truncatedness of our planning. Instead of saying for the whole year, now we're looking at summer in a very sort of truncated, specific way, the fall, the same, and then the spring, because things hopefully could be very, very much improved by the late fall, early spring. And then that would then be a catalyst for different kind of planning.
Well, Dr. Munoz, we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us and look forward to when you are on campus.
Well, I appreciate that. And again, I thank you for your interest in the university. I think UC Merced is going to be fine. And I think we're going to work together through all of the challenges that this pandemic presents this summer and into the spring, into the fall, and hopefully, a much more optimistic spring. But your support and interest in the campus is very much appreciated and necessary. I look forward to meeting you when I finally arrive in the city.